Amazing, that, isn't it? We need to, you know, sometimes the cultural like kind of legends that appear, and if you know a bit of the truth, it's like, wow, look at that. It's all about Jesus. Anybody give anything up for Lent? Give us a wave. I'm very interested.
Yeah.
Oh, not that many, actually. No. A few of you have been affected by the Church of England Catholicism stuff, so you have. Well done, Kath. I used to sit next to, in my last job, I was associate pastor in a wealthy church with lots of staff, and I used to share an office with another associate pastor called Andy. And Andy was from Middlesbrough, the only employed people from the north. And Andy used to say, Jesus gave up everything for me, so I don't have to give up anything. Do you like that? That has infected me. I also realised this week that Jesus, Lent is based on Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus fasting. But it's 3 years later to Easter. So you just do Lent every 3 years, can't you? That's what I thought that.
Yeah.
I also thought that this morning we're talking about fasting. And 2 weeks ago we talked about persevering in prayer. And last week we talked about unanswered prayer. And I thought, wow, we're having a laugh, aren't we? Hey? And yet God has been speaking to us, hasn't he? So why is that? How can we deal with these difficult things and yet God is still speaking to us? Maybe because we are getting hold of this idea that if we pray, the Lord moves. Yeah? If we push into him, he is here. And we can talk about some of the really, really tough things and know that it's not miserable because Jesus is in the centre.
Yeah.
That's good, isn't it? I'd written me sermon, as often happens, I'd written me sermon, and Saturday morning I woke up with this word from the Lord, it's not right. And I had this, because it was a sermon about fasting, giving stuff up, and it just seemed a bit dull, if I'm honest, a bit boring. I don't like boring. I don't like being boring. I don't want you to go home going, the worst thing about that service was the pastor. All you remember is something funny I've said, praise God. But if you remember something God has said, even better, right?
Yeah.
And I just get this word breakthrough. Yeah. And I believe God wants to bring breakthrough. He wants to bring breakthrough in your life this morning. I believe he's got a word for you this morning. I am going to speak about fasting. But because fasting brings breakthrough. Yes. And that's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
As many people agree on Lent. Great. Let's read. This is from Matthew chapter 6. We've read this a few times in our Journey to Glory series. Because it is all about Jesus. And if your Christianity is not all about Jesus, it isn't Christianity. If you can do some sort of white power thing and think you can shoot people and somehow claim to be a follower of Jesus, you are not. If you can be an Australian politician and say they deserved it, as one of them did, I'm paraphrasing, and then quote Jesus, stop it. He's not yours. Be careful, Jesus says, not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. So your giving may be in secret, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and on the street corners, seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Fasting brings breakthrough. And what you noticed about that passage of scripture, for some of you it is so familiar, you can't see anything. But what I saw every time was the word reward. 6 times. Reward, 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 reward. God says, if you do this, then I will reward you. That's good, isn't it? It's something that we don't like often in church. Well, depends where you come from. Because I think the idea of reward has been ruined for the Christian church by two extremes. I don't like extremes today. We noticed that already. By two extremes. So the prosperity gospel that essentially says, ask for anything you want and you'll get it. I don't like that. Because James says, you know, if you ask with the wrong motive, God won't give you anything. So let's get rid of that one. But the misery gospel, it hasn't got a proper title, but you know that one that says, just hang on in there, be miserable, sing miserable songs, and one day you'll die and you'll meet Jesus. You know that one? I really don't like that one. Spent a lot of time in my youth in one of those. Jesus is alive, while everyone in here is dead. There is this promise of too many R's for my list. There is the promise of reward. Jesus says, when you pray, when you give, when you fast, you will be rewarded if you do it in the right way. There is a when you of breakthrough. Jesus has these assumptions. He has these assumptions about you. This is the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking to his disciples right in front of him, and he's speaking to the crowd sitting a bit further back. He's speaking to both sets of people. And he's saying, when you give. And if I ask you, do you give? Do you give to the work of the church? Do you give to the poor? Do you give to people who knock on your door and say, will you give me some money? Lots of you would say, yes, we do. It's normal, isn't it? Yeah? In fact, the work of this church does not happen without you. Just have a little look around this morning. I feel like you're a little bit somber and all the tough things happening in the world. Go and have a little look around. Look behind you. What an amazing group of people. We don't get any funding from outside. We don't get any funding from some denomination or something. If the pastor's to get paid, you have to give. If the pastors are to get paid, you have to give. If the work of CAP needs to continue, you need to give. If the kids work, youth work, TOTS needs to continue, you need to give. Amazing, isn't it? And if you haven't discovered that, then you need to discover it, because Jesus says there is a reward. Do you see that? He says, when you give, don't be like everybody else. Don't be saying, look what I mentioned. Don't be like that. Don't have trumpets. Don't say, look how amazingly good I am. Do it on the quiet. People don't need to know what you're giving. But you need to know that you are giving. When you give, he's specifically talking about the poor here. Now, in Jesus' world, we've adopted Jesus' world in many ways. Because in Jesus' world, the temple and the synagogues and in the outlying towns, they were funded by the people. It's a crowdfunding exercise, is faith. It's a good one. But right here, Jesus is talking about those who have nothing. And he's saying, if you give to those who have nothing, God will reward you. If you're struggling with your finances, I would ask you to look at your giving. We, Angie and I, for 8 years of our life, lived by faith, in inverted commas. You might have heard that expression. It means that no one actually pays you a salary. You hope that other Christians will give you money. It's a terrifying place to be. But if people don't give, we don't get. If people don't give, the work doesn't happen. And Jesus says here, if you give, you will receive. When we lived in that world, our boss would say to us, if we were struggling financially, he would always ask the question, how is your giving? Because there is something going on here with God. Now, I'm not for a second doing a prosperity thing that says, whatever you give, God will give you a gazillion times more and a new car and all that stuff. That's nonsense. But this is Jesus. He says there is reward when you give. He says, when you pray, so most of us here are givers already, yes? I mean, the treasury of the back sink one, the bit my enthusiasm on that one. Most of us here are givers, yes? And all of us here are prayers, yes? You might remember a few weeks ago, now Siobhan kind of kicked off Dirty Glory, and she talked about how everybody prays. Everybody prays, and we had that fantastic atheist bear joke. Everybody remember that? Yeah, it was, I'm going to tell it again, but it was fantastic. Everybody prays. We pray. And Jesus says, when you pray, you will be rewarded. Isn't that fantastic? When you pray, you will be rewarded. I don't know if you've ever seen this. This is an American car sticker. You know, in American schools, American public schools, prayer is banned. As long as there are tests, there will be prayer in school. It's true, isn't it? Everybody is facing difficult times, people pray. And Jesus says, if you pray, there is a reward. And he said, this is how you should pray. And he gives us a little list, doesn't he, of God first. Of God first. Hallowed be your name. Before we ever get to ourselves. But he said, if you start to pray, you will see results. If you pray, you will see results. It is guaranteed. Honestly. Try it. If you're facing some stuff that is not happening for you, start to pray. And as Will and Beck said this morning, get others to pray for you. So far, nothing controversial. Okay? And then we come to the last one. When you fast. And fasting is completely gone out of fashion with the church. Completely gone out of fashion. All of us give. And we don't start now. All of us pray. But not all of us fast. And yet fasting it brings breakthrough. It's not just, I'm not trying to give you some heavy weight this morning that you have to do because of obedience. We'll get to obedience in a bit. But this, what are you facing? What things do you need to break through in your life? And are they not shifting? Are the prayers not getting answered? Well, here's a fantastic thing. Jesus says, when you fast. He assumes that you will. Jesus assumes that you will fast. Now he's speaking to a Jewish audience, and all those people he's speaking to will have fasted at least once a year. Day of Atonement, in Leviticus it tells them that they have to fast. So he's kind of on the, you know, he's kind of ahead of the game a little bit, isn't he? And his own in his own kind of very religious circle. So the Pharisees would have fasted often twice a week. The Essenes and the Qumran guys, or the Dead Sea Scroll guys, they would have had extended times of fasting. Months and months and months where they would just be on bread and water and all that kind of stuff. So he's talking to a fasting culture, and we are not a fasting culture, are we? Not. But is this for us today? I think it is. In fact, I think the church needs to get hold of some of the power that is at hand for us and tap into it, because we are weak as Christians in this nation. We are weak as Christians in the Western world, and we need to be strong. And God is saying, here's all this stuff for you. Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you stepping into what I've got for you? We stand somewhere between the Old Testament and the coming of Jesus. Because the Pharisees, they were fasting because they were waiting for the nation to be restored and for the Messiah to come. So the reason Jesus says, my disciples aren't going to fast. Remember that verse? He says, oh, you know, these questions about fasting one day. He said, oh, my boys, they don't need to fast. Why not? Because the Messiah is here. So Jesus, he said, while I am with them. But we now live in that now and the not yet of the kingdom, where we're waiting for the second coming of Jesus. Are we waiting for the restoration of all things? Has all things been restored? No. Turn on the news. So what do we do in the meantime? Jesus says, when you give, when you pray, when you fast. He's asking us to join in with something that is powerful and will bring breakthrough. Richard Foster, the well-known Christian writer on kind of disciplines, that kind of puts people off, doesn't it? One of his books is called The Celebration of Discipline. That sounds a bit hard, doesn't it? But he says nobody wrote on fasting between the 1860s and the 1950s. It just completely fell off the edge of Christianity. But we're starting to wake up to this stuff. That actually there's something here that we need to get hold of. That where God wants to break through and bring breakthrough in our lives. This is the ordinary Christian life. God's calling us into a place of fasting. So I'm speaking on fasting this morning, have you noticed? And so I thought, I better fast, right? Fasting is part of my Christian life since I was in my mid-24 when I became a Christian. And since then, I've regularly fasted. And so I thought, better fast this week, speaking on fasting. So the best day for me was a Wednesday. I had other things on the other days that wouldn't quite work out. So Wednesday morning, I don't have any breakfast. And rather than have breakfast, I read my scripture, pray. Pray for a bit longer, because I'm not eating my porridge. And then I've got a meeting straight away, 9 o'clock. And then I've got life group at 11 o'clock. Pick a couple of people up, come to life group. We have a great time in life group talking about unanswered prayer and pushing in and all that stuff. Fab, you know. And then in my life group, we always have lunch. That's why it's the best life group. We always have lunch. And some of the guys and girls are making the tea and coffee, and I'm making the sandwiches, and I've done the list, and I haven't put my name on the list because I'm fasting, right? And I make all the sandwiches, and I think, well, I haven't got one, so I make myself a cheese sandwich, and I eat my cheese sandwich, and about 2 o'clock that afternoon, I'm going to visit somebody else, and I think, oh, I'm hungry. And like with fasting, when you're hungry, that reminds you to pray. And I go, well, I'm hungry, I had a cheese sandwich. Why did I have a cheese sandwich? I'm fasting. I tell you that just so that you know, take hope that I'm not some religious superstar, because I'm sure some of you thought I was. Just no guilt, no shame, right? No guilt, no shame. This is about breakthrough. And I will pick fasting up again in the future. It is about relationship. It is about encounter. God is calling us to this place of encounter with Him. And in the primary purpose of fasting is always about, it's always about encounter with God. I want to build on my relationship with God. I want to hear what you are saying. I want to know what you are saying. God is calling us to breakthrough. Relationship and encounter. Jesus has a strong word about the hypocrites, the mask wearers. Don't pretend to be something you're not. Don't pretend to be something you're not, but just keep coming to Him quietly and saying, I need to fast. Now, when Jesus says, don't show off about it, it doesn't mean you can't tell other people that you're fasting. My mum's a lovely Christian lady, and when I was a teenager, she would quite often fast. And I would notice she wasn't eating. Caring heart, you see. Mum, why aren't you having any tea? And she'd just go, she'd just mumble something. Because she didn't want her reward to be stolen. And you know, me being like, are you fasting? Oh! Jesus is not saying you've ruined it when that happens. Right? Oh, that's it, broken. You know. He's not saying there's no reward if somebody spots you. It's not what he's saying. I remember being about 9 years old, sitting at the dinner table, and I've been out playing with my brothers and my cousins, and we were wild. Feral would be the word probably. And I'm having tea at 5 o'clock because I'm from the northeast, and my dad came in from work and we had our tea. That was the law. And my dad says to me, have you been crying? Which was a normal event with my brothers and my cousins. Dads, how do they know those things? How do you know? It's because I was filthy and there was rivulets down my face. Jesus is saying, don't show off your spirituality. Don't show off your spirituality. It's all right to tell other people. Sometimes it's good to say, shall we fast together? As we perhaps think about a building on Wednesday evening, we might need to declare a holy fast together. We don't lose the reward in that. It's all about encounter with Him. That's what He's saying. You've already got your reward if it's all about you. But if it's all about Him, He's got a reward for you. And we need to break through to our reward. Throughout the scripture, we see these people who pray. So they're praying and fasting for two purposes. They're praying and fasting to encounter God, but they're also praying and fasting for something. For something. Moses, absolutely, I mean, it would be, if it wasn't such a sad story, it'd be funny. Deuteronomy 9, Moses is on the mountain, and he's fasting to encounter God. 40 days fast. And he encounters God, and he writes the Ten Commandments, and he comes down the mountain. And the people in the meantime have fashioned this golden calf and started worshipping it. And Moses is just bereft. And he immediately breaks all the commandments in one go by dropping them. I thought that was funnier in practice. And then he goes back up the mountain and fasts for another 40 days in sorrow. Incredible thing. He's fasting to encounter God. He's fasting in sorrow. David, when Jonathan and Saul are killed, David fasts. Really interesting. Saul was his enemy. Jonathan was his friend. But he fasts for them both to encounter God and out of sorrow. Jehoshaphat calls the people to fast because the Assyrians, Babylonians, one of that lot are coming and they're going to be wiped out. Let us fast and pray, because if we don't, our nation will be wiped out. Esther, the same, fasts for protection. Ezra fasts out with joy. I mean, that doesn't even click with us. Fasting is a joy. But he's going, look what God has done. Look how God has restored our nation. Look how we're worshipping again in the temple. Let's fast in joy. Daniel, Jesus, they're both fasting for the way forward. What do we do here, Lord? How do we do this? Paul and Barnabas fast when they're laying hands on new leaders. Help us get it right. In every single point, they're fasting about relationship and encounter with God, but they're also fasting for breakthrough. Where do you need breakthrough? You need to give something up and give the time to the Lord. You need to give something up and pray instead of eating. And pray instead of watching. And pray instead of drinking. I think I know more people who are not Christians who have given us up for Lent than those who are Christians. But I'm always intrigued what they do with that. Why have you given something up? Have you already got your reward? For us, this is about reward. I need breakthrough in this place. I need breakthrough in this thing. Jesus calls us to break through and receive our reward. So it's time to break your fast on fasting. It's time to give it a go. You know, we ask the question, don't we? Well, most recently, what is God saying? Let me just give you a hint. He's telling you to fast. What's he saying? Nice. He's telling us to fast. And it is about sacrifice. And it is about obedience. And I know it is. And those things are not sexy in our world. They are not. But as followers of Jesus, we are called to obedience. Why does Jesus fast? I even wonder about that. I've done a lot of thinking on that this week. Why does Jesus, if he's one with the Father, if he's full, why does Jesus fast? Because he is constantly trying to make his relationship with Father God the best it can be. And also because he's trying to model something for us. He's saying, this will be good for your soul. This will be good for you. Have a go. Have a go. Start small. Don't go, I'll have a 40-day fast. I do have some friends who've done 40-day fasts. I mean, talk about hardcore Christians. But if you've never, if you're, you know, Jesus is from a fasting culture, Daniel is from a fasting culture. We're British. We are from a feasting culture. Actually, Jesus models both things, doesn't he? He probably feasts more than he fasts, but he does fast. When he meets that large woman, you know, the woman of Samaria, and... trying my best, Lord. His disciples come back, and this, you know, they have a little conversation about food, and Jesus says, I have food that you know nothing about. I think that's a little hint that he's been fasting. He is fasting so that he is hearing, so that he is ministering. So there is an obedience thing here, but there is a reward here. This is about breakthrough. Mark 9:29 is a really interesting little bit of scripture. As you probably know, that we've got some fantastic pieces of original scripture, or, you know, certainly it's in Syria and you know, all over the Middle East. And some of the manuscripts for Mark 9:29 say this can only come out through prayer and fasting. Jesus has just been on the Mount of Transfiguration, we call it. He's just been shining with Moses and Elijah. He's just been in this incredible experience with God. And he's come back down the mountain and he encounters a group of his disciples who cannot heal a boy. And we've tried our best. You know, and these guys are spot on. They've been out and about doing ministry. They've been sent out and they've seen healings. And the, you know, what does one of the disciples say? Even the demons respond to us. They've seen incredible stuff. And yet they cannot do anything with this kid. And Jesus says this type only comes out through prayer and fasting. There's absolutely no evidence that Jesus had just been praying and just been fasting. It's nothing to tell us that he'd just been doing that. He'd just been having a loving with Moses and Elijah, chatting about the future. He hadn't been fasting. See, that's your breakthrough there. Because fasting was part of his world. Fasting was part of his life. Prayer and fasting is something that he does because breakthrough doesn't always come straight away. And sometimes you need something in the bank. Sometimes you need a little bit of power going on because you're going to come into a situation that you cannot deal with. And Jesus says, put this into place in your life. Pick this up in your life. Because you want to encounter God. And you want that relationship to be as good as it can be. So this is where you start. In this next week, at some point, just decide I'm going to skip a meal. I'm going to skip a meal. And in that meal, I'm going to pray. And I know for some of you, already you're going, yeah, but I'm diabetic, I've got heart disease, I've got cancer, etc., etc. Honestly, the stuff that you do in your life that you just need to fast it instead. I mean, let's be honest, half an hour of fasting EastEnders gives you more time to pray than most of us fasting a meal. And there might be those who say, well, that's not real fasting. Well, don't tell them, otherwise you lose your reward. What is it that you need to put down in order to encounter him? It is something good. See the point with fasting? It's putting down something good. It's not saying, I'm an actor, give up EastEnders easy because I've never watched it. But what do I need to put down in order to encounter him? Start small. But then build on what you do. So start with a meal. Go with two meals. Go with three meals. If you can go longer, great. I find after 36 hours I feel really unwell. And I'm fairly sure God doesn't want that. So I asked a 24-hour fast. I have tea one night, have tea the next night. In between, you're seeking God. You're praying. You're fasting. Do you want breakthrough? Do you want breakthrough? Is there stuff in your life that you think, Lord, I need breakthrough in this? It's a little bit of armoury that the church has put down. Let's pick it up again.
Yeah.
Let's pray and fast. Because he promises a reward. What's God saying to you this morning? What are you going to do about it? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you still speak things that we have not noticed. That you say, when you pray, you will be rewarded. And when you give, you will be rewarded. And when you fast, you will be rewarded. Lord, help us not to be like the hypocrites, to make it about ourselves. Help us to be like you, who just wants encounter with our Most High God. Lord, go with us, I pray today. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.